Welcome to the Five Leadership Questions podcast, brought to you by Ministry Grid. Ministry Grid is an online church leadership and volunteer training platform offering a library of over 3,000 video sessions, as well as other resources, which provide practical training for every ministry area of your church. Right now, you can get started with an annual subscription for 50% off. Don't miss this great deal. Find out more and get started today at ministrygrid.com. Now, enjoy the podcast.
All right, welcome to the Five Leadership Questions podcast. I am with my good friend, Todd Atkins.
Hello, hello. I pretended to be Daniel M. there.
And we have a real special guest today. This is going to be exciting. There's so many hats that she wears. So she's an author, not just of books, but also of Bible studies. She's a speaker, a Bible teacher, an actress, a wife, a mother. Priscilla Shire, is there anything you don't do?
There is so much I don't do. Just ask my kids. I'll tell you the truth. How are y'all?
We're good.
It's so good to have you on. We were joking beforehand that this is one of the funniest stories. My wife has programmed her name into my phone, Todd, as Kay, my sweet baby. And one day, Priscilla was going to text Kay, and Priscilla and I were... Priscilla was at Lifeway, and I shared my number with Kay's number with Priscilla, and so I didn't realize it would do this, but it popped up on Priscilla's phone as Kay, my sweet baby.
Yes, it is currently programmed in my phone as Kay, my sweet baby. I've left it that way for several years now.
That's what happens when you share a contact.
Yeah, and Kay has utilized Priscilla's Bible studies in our home with Women in Our Neighborhood. And one of the cool things has been the Prince Warriors series.
That's where I was going to go.
Yeah. So have your kids?
So I have, one of my kids is a voracious reader, which is an understatement.
James?
Yes. But he did the first two books in 48 hours. I'm not joking.
That's awesome.
He's nine years old.
Are you serious?
He's 9 years old and he's an odd kid. But he really,
he loves to read, so he read those. Wow, that's awesome.
He just consumed them. So
that, you know, that encourages me so much, especially when I hear 9-year-old mm-hmm. boy. Because while girls, you know, I knew that they would read it as well. Because I'm a mom of three sons, and I know sometimes how hard it can be to get them engaged in a great story that makes them want to actually read, that was my target, was to get some boys reading. So that encourages me so much to hear that about your son.
Oh, that's great.
And Kay teaches at a public school right down the street from where we live, and The Prince Warriors is actually approved reading in the public school. So I guess cool. It's called, what's it called? It's a special name. Something reader where the kids can mm-hmm. can read mm-hmm. and the other thing, gosh, this is to the parents that are listening. Armor of God is a Bible study that Priscilla authored, and we have Armor for God for Kids, and my wife used that with about 50 to 60 kids that come every other week to a Bible study that she does off campus, because she's a teacher, can't do it on campus, but right down the street from the public school where she teaches. And the kids, some from church backgrounds, some who haven't grown up in church, they all loved it, the Armor of God for Kids. So some great, great resources.
Amen.
The Lord's really using you, Priscilla, to impact a lot of people. It's been cool to see your impact in my own family. And so it's an honor to spend some time with you today.
Oh, man, I'm so excited to be able to talk to both of you guys. You know, I'm big fans of Todd and Eric, so I'm excited about this.
Good.
All right, well, I'm going to jump in. We have five questions we love to ask leaders, and we'll run through these questions with you, Priscilla. The first is—
Eric, I don't know if you know how this works.
Tell me how this works.
So the person that introduces the whole podcast, they let the other co-host ask three of the questions. So I would typically, since you got to introduce, I would now get to do 1, 3, and 5.
Todd, I wish
but
you.
But I'm going to defer
to you. No, If you had done your job and prepared me for this moment, that would not have just happened.
It's more fun to do it this way.
Yeah. So thanks for rebuking me in front of Priscilla and the listening audience. So go ahead, Todd. You go ahead with question number one.
So Priscilla, who are you currently learning from?
Well, you know, I am, you know, got a slew of people that honestly are feeding me in a variety of different ways. but I'm really learning a lot from my kids right now. Mm. We're in a transitional phase where this is his first year of high school that he's finishing up right now. And so we're in this stage where, you know, by the time they get to that age, between 9 and about that stage, they really start thinking a little bit more clearly. And you find yourself in conversation with them and them asking questions of you that really compel you to have to actually think beyond a surface level to give them an answer that has any sort of accuracy to it, depth to it, and to take the opportunity not only to see, you know, how that question can lead to possibly a conversation that could be really important in their life and the trajectory of their life, but as you're thinking through that, it begins to change the trajectory of your life because you find yourself thinking about things you wouldn't normally think about. And so I really am learning a lot from my kids, and I'm learning a lot about humility as well. That humility is really the key for relationships, whether in a family structure, like I'm talking about right now, or in a working relationship on a job or in ministry, corporate or otherwise. You know, it's humility is really what lays the framework for effective relationships to be smooth. And so I'm learning that in the dynamic with my children. And so it's interesting how sometimes kids can be the best teachers in helping you to see the world in a different light and also helping you to see yourself more clearly. It's like staring in a mirror and recognizing there's some stuff that needs to be straightened out or cleaned up or ironed or figured out. Your kids are like a mirror.
Well, I'm finding the same thing in my life. It can be, someone said this one time that your kids reflect back to you both your strengths and your weaknesses. And so I see so much of my own struggles in my kids, and it's humbling. And I want to be a better parent because of that. We recently talked to your dad, Priscilla, and I was learning.
I like him.
Yeah.
I like him.
And he shared, it was a very challenging time about, and it was one of the questions, and we'll ask you this question later. I think Todd might actually let me ask you this question a little bit later because it's an even number.
Hey, that's the way I structured it.
Yeah. Right. Thank you. But we were talking to him about what leadership in the home looked like. And he talked about the importance of the table and how the table, while his kids were growing up and you being one of Tony Evans' kids, how the table was so important for conversations, or not just the food, but for conversations around the table, and there'd be a verse of the week, and that after having grown up, that all the kids have said the time at the table was so important. So I'm curious for your perspective, just because I just have heard that from your father. I'd love to hear. I walked away convicted about not maximizing my table enough.
It changed my table immediately. It did.
Wow. Well, I will tell you that the best thing about Tony Evans, and for that matter, Lois Evans, the best thing about them is not what they've accomplished or done in ministry. It's that they actually were for real living the thing when they weren't in the spotlight. So when my dad says to you that the table is most important, it's not because he just preached about it and thought it. I mean, we really did that. And no, we weren't around the table every evening. There were four of us all in different activities. So our house was exactly what you would picture that it would be,
right,
with four kids doing a bunch of different stuff. So no, it wasn't every night. But the reality is now as an adult, in hindsight, I realized that what it was intentional, that they were consistent in their intentionality. So while it didn't happen 7 days a week, there were enough nights over enough weeks over enough months that dovetailed into years where it was a habit that was formed. So, you know, and again, as a mom of three kids now, I realize how intentional you have to be to actually cook, you know, not just like buy stuff because it's quicker. You got to be thinking about that. So my mom had to think about that. She had to put food on the table. And sometimes it was just a casserole. You know, it wasn't like she had this 5-course meal or anything. It's just a regular old something that she could get together for her kids, and we'd sit down and around that table, Dad would lead us in devotions. We would have that memory verse. My mother would save the Christmas cards that we had gotten that year, and really basically one a week we would grab out of a basket that she saved, and we'd pray for that family.
Wow.
And that was our habit. And so I have to remind myself of that now with my own children, because I get so discouraged sometimes. You know, you're trying to do a little devotional, 5-minute devotional with your kid or whatever, and everybody's just berserk. I mean, I don't know about y'all, but I don't know if you ever look at your kids and go, this is nuts. Nobody right. in this family is going to turn out well at all. So I think when people think about maybe Priscilla Shire or Anthony Evans or Crystal mm-hmm. or Jonathan, and they see Tony and Lois Evans, they have this misperception that our family, when we were growing up, did not look like theirs, because, you know, right. they just think, because they see us on this side of it, yep. they think, oh, they must have just sat around the table and listened. And no, I mean, my dad had to give us that look across the table, like, if you don't be still, you're going to be in trouble. You know, we, you know, exactly what you think it looked like with four kids trying to have devotions for 10 minutes.
That's good.
What it looked like.
That I needed to hear that.
Me.
I needed to hear yeah. that. Because in my head,
yeah,
I'm thinking, oh, Priscilla's already quoting all of Ephesians 6.
You no. know? No.
Okay, good.
It was nuts around the table. And my mother had to do everything she could to keep us semi-still for the 3 or 4 minutes, long enough for Daddy to get some thought out before
okay.
he lost us all. And so
yeah.
that's the way it happens
that's good.
With my family now. And that encourages me. It's just like, you know what? It might not be perfect,
right?
But it's going to be purposeful, and we're going to do the best we can.
It is interesting, the you know, the concept of you are what you habitually do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right.
How much of that, the time at the table, Priscilla, it was you can remember specific things that were taught, and how much of it is, you know, you have that cliche that so much of the faith is caught. Well, we know a lot of it's taught. We teach doctrine, but so much of it's caught. You know, some's taught. How much of that experience for you was there specific things you remember being taught, and how much of it's just the intentionality that you observed?
Gosh, that's a great question. I love it. I would have to say it's a mix of both. If I had to put a percentage on it, I would say, you know, 60 or 70% of it is really just what's caught, mm-hmm. just the habits that are formed. So that in my mind now as a mother, being around the table intentionally is a non-negotiable. I mean, I can't even conceptualize my family not sitting around a table every now and then, because it's important to me. So a lot of it is just because they made a habit out of certain things. You know, my dad, for example, as well, is one of the most stable people that I know, patient people that I know. When we were very much in trouble, very much wrong, you know, needed to be disciplined, he never did that in anger. We were disciplined and it was sure, but there wasn't anger. And when the discipline was finished, there was always a conversation, either before or after. He would want to know what we were thinking, and he would want to talk to us about how we can make a different choice later. And honestly, and I'm getting back to your point, but I just want to, your question, but I just want to point out here, honestly, so much of the direction that my entire life has taken is because of those conversations, because I would get in so much trouble for talking. That is what I got in trouble for, either my tone of voice or talking out of turn or talking too much. The teacher would write home, you know, she got 3 demerits today for, you know, talking in class. And so I would need to be disciplined, obviously, because I need to learn respect for authority and submission to authority and obedience. Yes. But on the heels of that correction, there was a conversation about what my father saw could possibly be a gift that God has given me that needs to be sort of molded by God's spirit for his purposes. So when I was going off to college, it was my father who suggested that, at the time we thought I'd be in like a news anchor or something on television. So he suggested that I consider communications as a degree. I had never even heard of that. I didn't even know what he was talking about. But that was his thought for me based on the struggle that I was having. As an adolescent. So back to your point, that is something else that has been caught for me, just not disciplining out of anger, looking at it through the perspective of the Lord. Could this be that this thing that is just unruly in their life right now, this characteristic that's unruly, is actually the thing that God might have put in their life and given me the privilege to help hone that will be used for his glory? So I caught a lot of that. But I will also tell you that there was a lot that was taught to me that now I realize I remember specifically, because in my teaching, in my writing, sometimes when I'll sit down on a platform and you know, women can ask questions, I will answer those questions from a well of knowledge mm-hmm. I know is there, and I did not study that.
Love that. That's so awesome.
You know, yeah, it wasn't specifically studied, mm-hmm. but I have sat underneath brilliant teaching for, well, my parents started the church when I was one. So I'm 40, getting ready to turn 44 here in a few months. And so for 43 years, mm-hmm. I have heard the truths that's of so Scripture, good. And there's some theology that's just there. Because I have been underneath his teaching my whole life.
And so when you're answering those questions in those Q&A environments or other environments and you start talking, did you even realize that the answer was there, or is it coming to your mind? Is the well even deeper than you sometimes realize it is?
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. Because I'm talking and I'm thinking to myself, man, that's awesome. I need to go look that up more yeah. specifically and you know, dig into it deeper. Mm. But yeah, very frequently there are answers to questions that I did not know were there.
That's so good. All right, I'm gonna move us on to the second question. And I want to piggyback with a thing you said a moment ago, which, because this is called Five Leadership Questions Podcast, and we know people who listen, some are ministry leaders, some are leaders in other environments, and you said that your father was able to speak this into you, which was to find something that could have been viewed as a weakness, but unleash that to be a strength and even a calling in your life. And so that's one thing we want to do as leaders, is we want to, it's been said that sometimes your greatest strength is your greatest weakness. It could be a flip side. It could go either way. And so with that mm-hmm. in mind, what's the main point of emphasis for you now as a leader? And it might be related to you know, what could go negative, but you've turned around and leveraged that for the kingdom.
Yeah. I think actually that weaknesses are the very thing we should celebrate, in a person. So I look for that too. We have a handful of women that work with us in our ministry. And then again, with my own family, instead of sort of letting someone's weakness be what makes them feel discouraged, I actually want to bring out that thing and sort of highlight it and say, okay, this is the platform on which God's strength is actually going to be displayed in your life. Mm-hmm. So since his strength is made perfect here, not where you're strong, yes, you're already using your gifts and your talents. Good for you. Keep going. But in this place where you tend to either ignore it or circumvent it or hide it or want to make sure nobody finds out about it, what if we sort of stick you in a setting where this is the exact thing where you've got to depend more fully on God's Spirit? What possibly could happen here if we actually realize that this weakness is not a liability, it's an asset? And let's just see what happens. So I think it's the element of fear that keeps us from that. I can't tell you how many times in ministry, I could literally list them for you, not the least of which, by the way, you mentioned acting a few minutes ago. I don't know how in the world that happened, but I will tell you that fear would very, very much have kept me from being a part of War Room. And most recently, I Can Only Imagine mm-hmm. film. I wouldn't have done either of those things because I was completely intimidated and insecure. I even suggested to them other people that I knew that were actual actresses and had been trained in the craft that could do the roles. Mm-hmm. I was like, are y'all serious? Are you sure you know what you're getting yourself into? And the whole time I'm praying and going, Lord, I wouldn't want to embarrass myself if I were you. So help me out here. And in all of these places, not just in acting, but with writing, man, writing is not my number one forte, I don't think. It's something I've had to sort of grow into a discipline for me. Speaking, sometimes I'll be standing on a platform. Eric and Todd, I'm standing up there, and Beth Moore's next, or Kay Arthur's next.
Right, right.
Or, I mean, what in the world? How did this happen? And fear would keep me. Fear highlights the weakness. It makes your weakness so big and so overwhelming, which is the enemy's ploy, that it will paralyze you so that you never step into the very thing that is the opportunity for God to display his strength. That has been one of the biggest lessons I've learned personally that I want to extend to the people in my sphere of influence, mm-hmm. my kids and my the people that work with us. It's like, okay, wait a minute. I've seen too many times where I just said, okay, Lord, I'm weak here, but I'm going to go anyway because I feel like you've compelled me to go. And when I've gone to watch him make his strength perfect, that's the most stunning and staggering and effective thing you can ever experience in your whole life. And I want others to experience that as well.
That is so good. That's so encouraging. That is so great. Thank you. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Let me move us on to question three. What are two or three things that you absolutely must do daily, and what benefit do they have for your life and leadership other than read scripture?
Oh, man.
I know. I don't like when Todd says other than read scripture.
Well, because we know that's going
to
be one.
But it's super important, Todd. It's like saying, okay, what do you do to stay healthy except eating healthy food?
Because it's Priscilla, and I actually would – I'm curious to know how she reads scripture. I'll let her say that if she so chooses.
Wow,
if it's one of her three.
Todd is running the show today. I mean, he's rebuking all of us.
Well, I will tell you that reading scripture for me, I'm putting myself out there, but it's not an everyday thing. And in the traditional sense. Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of days, and I'm getting out of it now because my kids are older now, but because our kids were so small for so long, yeah, it seems like an eternity, you know, when they're little and in diapers and stuff. I had to kind of engage my relationship with God in a different way. And it really looked like practicing the presence of God, which is what, you know, Brother Lawrence explained to us in that incredible book, just sort of being with God throughout the day, communicating with him throughout the day, and maybe having a verse of scripture that is the one verse of scripture you're mulling over all week long, so that it might not be like a 30-minute or an hour-long quiet time every day, but it's this constant awareness of God's presence, like while you're folding laundry, you know?
Right.
So that I get, you know? So that sometimes is still what my life with God looks like, just with everything that's going on. And I appreciate that. I think there's grace for that. I think that the Lord meets us there. Certainly not downplaying the importance of a daily quiet time. I'm just saying that if it doesn't happen, that we can't let guilt kind of keep us from having the intimacy with God that we're supposed to have. So anyway, that's neither here nor there. Daily though, I love fresh air. I think that it changes your whole perspective on the day. I think that sunlight actually does something to our physiology that gives us a brighter outlook towards the people that we're going to be around. It sort of helps us to have a change in perspective and emotion and balance that I think matters. So for me, being outdoors, a lot of times that just means I'm walking. I'll walk outdoors, or I'll just sit outside for a second and let that sun hit me. And I do think that it changes your perspective. On that same note, I also think while I don't do this every single day, I do think that exercise is important, and not just because it helps our bodies to function well. Obviously, that's a main reason. But often for me, it's not until I'm just outside walking that a message I've been working on, or a paragraph I've been trying to finish, or a thought I've been trying to make sense of, it doesn't settle until I stop studying and just go move my body, just go walk, just go get some sunlight, just take my mind off of it. So every single day I'm getting some fresh air. Most every single day I'm trying to move my body in some way, whether it's riding a bike or walking or something. And then I will say, and again, I'm giving all these light things, but I think they're important. I think that every single day I give myself a break. And I mean a break from the whole of it, whether it's, you know, I'm in this all-consuming phase of ministry and all-consuming phase of parenting right now. There's always a basketball game to go to. There's always another meal that needs to be cooked for these three hungry people whose appetites I still cannot seem to satisfy. I don't know how this is going to work out long-term. But anyway, what can you do to catch your breath, to make sure you're feeling okay? You know, what vitamins do you actually need to take? What phone calls were important for you to make sure you finished, you know, that little to-do list for today? Just something that tends to me. I think that's important. And I think it's especially important, if you don't mind me saying, for wives and moms who tend to give ourselves away so completely that there's just nothing left. And oftentimes we don't realize that until we're 50 or 60 years old and we look back and realize we just gave ourselves away in little increments for 20 years.
Wow.
And we didn't foster a hobby. We didn't think about our relationships and our friendships. We haven't talked to our husband in as long as we can remember. We don't even know him anymore because we didn't make ourselves take a Sabbath every now and then. So I just try to do that every day on some level.
I really appreciate the practical aspects of that. We talk a lot about self-leadership and really you can't lead others effectively if you're not leading yourself well. And to hear, hey, I'm a big proponent of sunlight. Priscilla, when I moved to Nashville from Miami, yeah, I agree. And I have to try to find ways to get some sunlight because my wife's dropping vitamin D pills in my coffee because I'm not the same without sun. But also the exercise, we've had several leaders on recently who have talked about the importance of exercise. I read a book recently called Spark, which is about exercise and not the impact it has on your body, but as much as the impact it actually has on your mind. And so the exercise does cause you to be more fruitful mentally. So it's...
Oh, it really does. And I will tell you too, something else that I do daily that I do think matters is that, you know, in prayer, one of my prayers is always, Lord, today, would you give me the opportunity to be the answer to someone else's prayer? Hmm. Would you give me enough overflow of whether it's wealth, resources, whether it's time, whether it's patience, give me enough overflow of insight, discernment, give me enough overflow of something that when an individual comes by that needs that thing, I'm ready to give it to them. And I ask them for that opportunity, which means after you do that, after I pray that, then my eyes are open kind of all day long for, you know, yesterday I was at soccer practice with my son and I was kind of exercising during his soccer practice. And right as I was ready to go, I mean, I was so tired. It was hot out there. I'd finished, you know, exercising for an hour. So I was ready to go. And a woman stopped me who had basically been waiting on me to finish so that she could stop me to ask me for prayer. And honestly, as she was stopping me, I was sort of walking to the car, kind of talking and walking at the same time just because I needed to get in the car and get home for dinner. But as she was talking to me, I realized that for that day, she was the answer to the prayer I had prayed that morning, which was, Lord, give me the opportunity to answer someone else's request. And so then my perspective on people that I come in contact with or little things that happen throughout the day, they become then opportunities to be used by God in someone else's life for a prayer you don't even know they're praying.
That's great. Well, I want to move us on from the self-leadership aspect to also leading your family. We talked a bit about this in terms of the impact your parents had on you growing up, but now that you're parenting, what does leadership in your home look like?
Well, it's very interesting you asked me that question because I'm a girl. So it's very different. My answer would be very different, I suppose, than if a guy were your guest today. Leadership to me looks like submission. That's what it looks like. And I think this is true for every leader, whether male or female, but particularly from my perspective right now, being a good leader to my children and serving them well and helping them to see what a healthy family dynamic looks like. And also, and even more importantly, to make sure that I'm standing underneath the umbrella of God's blessing and favor in my own life and that I don't hinder that toward my own life and my marriage and my family. What being a good leader looks like is submitting well to my husband.
Yeah.
That's a hard thing when you've got a demonstrative personality like I do. It's a hard thing when, you know, sometimes the reality is, you know, sometimes we wives, we know that we've got the right answer here, but you wonderful gentlemen just sort of have to wade through all of your thoughts before you can get right back around to exactly what we knew already. I think Kay would agree with that.
Yeah, for sure. She'd give me an eye right now if she was sitting next to me.
So for me, the discipline of being submitted and patient and honoring my husband in that to me, that's what leadership looks like to me. And again, I say that from a female perspective, but I just think male and female, if we're not submitted to some sort of authority in our lives, we're not leading well.
That's good.
So my husband submitted to the authority of his pastor, and another pastor who is not our local pastor, but is just a mentor in our lives, has been for years. He submitted to that leadership in his life. So if that pastor calls and says, you know, get on a plane right now. You need to get to me. I need to talk to you about what's going on in your life. We need to fix this before you go any further. He will get on a plane and go, because he's made a commitment to that man that I will submit to your authority in areas where I need to make sure for the health of my family and marriage and ministry that everything is lined up. And so I'm grateful to submit to a man who I know is submitted to the authority of someone who has some spiritual covering over his life. So anyway, that's my answer. That's what leadership looks like to me. It looks like submission.
That's encouraging.
Very encouraging. All right, let's go to our final question, which is, what would you tell your 20-year-old self about preparing to lead?
I would tell her, gosh, the main answer, honestly, that's coming to my head, I'm going to think of another one because I don't want to repeat myself. But I will tell you, the first thing that comes to my head is that I would tell that 20-year-old to learn how to submit well. That's what I would tell her. I would tell her, not as a single woman, to not become so independent and autonomous and so strategic in the way you want your life to run that you don't also put that much time and energy into learning how to yield, meaning put yourself in scenarios where you have to be submitted to some spiritual authority in your life, because that's not a characteristic that just, you know, jumps on you when you walk down the aisle and say, I do. You know, that's something that you need to practice that. I would tell her that. I would also tell that 20-year-old, and here's the second thing, to learn how to be a continual learner. I think that younger generation, and I was this way when I was 20, but we're a bit arrogant. You kind of think you know it all. You think you've got a handle on things. You're young, you're strong, you know, your mental capacities are at a peak there when you with education, and you're just on a roll. And you've got your whole life in front of you, and you think that you've got it covered. And so you don't listen as well as you should. I would tell her to do less talking and more listening and learning, because that would make me a better leader in the future. So now, you know, in hindsight, I see that. And now as a 43-year-old woman, I do much more listening and learning than I do talking and teaching, because I think the only way we can be effective as a leader and in that role of mentoring others is if we have listened well, is if we've got our own noses in a book, learning, reading, gleaning from people who are different from us, who have different theological frame of reference from us, different denominations from us, different perspectives than ours, different racial backgrounds than ours, just gleaning and listening and being open to the conversation. That right there teaches you more than you even think you need to know, but you've got to be humble enough to be able to be receptive to it.
That's great. I knew this would be encouraging, Priscilla. I knew that I would take notes and learn a lot, and expectations are exceeded. Thank you so much for taking time to be on the podcast with us today.
Well, I appreciate you guys so much. I feel like I may have rambled just
not
a little
all.
Bit, and I
nope.
apologize if I did.
No, this was was filled with gold. So we're grateful
so
for
fun.
The time.
So fun. Thank you guys so much.
All right. Well, you've been listening to the 5 Leadership Questions podcast. Thanks for tapping in today. If you get a chance, go to iTunes and give us a – only go there if you're going to give us an awesome review. But if you feel like giving us an awesome review, go to iTunes and do that.
Thank you for listening to the 5 Leadership Questions podcast. To learn more about how you can train leaders in your church year-round for 50% off, visit ministrygrid.com. Once again, that's ministrygrid.com.